So he told me, okay, in military application of technology or military research and development, even packaging is also an important factor. So you have to have a built-in test equipment, also built-in reliability. Here they emphasized to me RAM's concept, reliability, availability, maintainability, and also durability, RAM D concept. And also I played with the military communication equipment when I was a young child. Because right after World War II, I was a graduate year of the elementary school. But you can imagine after World War II, I had to play with the Japanese, the military communication device. So I was really opened my eyes when I saw first time USA and the U.S. Army's equipment. I still remember, the SCR 536 and the BC 611. That was a handy talkie developed by Garvin Manufacturing Company, the mother company of the Motorola today. Mr. Garvin was the founder of that company.
Garvin, yeah.
So I played with it. And also I played with many things like SCR-693, that's a radio transmitter type of thing, HF radio. So luckily, I just had a fully aware of the military hardware, how it's built, and how to maintain, because that time my English power was so low, I couldn't read everything, but because of the circuit diagram and some pictures, I can make sense just vaguely out of it. I wasn't sure what I was doing, but as a fun young children.
Well, how did you, as a young boy, as a civilian, how did you have access to the equipment?
Okay, I tell you. We still have some area in Seoul, but at that time, middle of Seoul, we call there's some black market, in our area. If you go there, you can find everything. Starting with the military batteries and tubes. That time, two-age. Some years later, transistors came out to the market. So full of, for that sense, I was rather more fortunate than American kid. Because over there, unless you go to the big military surplus yard, you can't find the military gears. Unless you see some movies. But here, this is the front line of the, United States Army or Navy or Air Force. After the World War II, we didn't have much of bombing like Japanese islands, but still we are under the occupation of Japan, so we were also influenced by the military, in and out. So I was very fortunate to I was born with the really world top class technology in telecommunication area. I did not play with the A bomb, but I played with the top class, there. How? Leaked through the military, black market or surplus. That time, Korea didn't even have a battery company. I mean, battery manufacturer. Most of the battery we Korean used, U.S. military, khaki colored BA-30 was a flashlight. Now the D cell, and the BA-40 that goes to a 1.5 volt for the filament power supply, 90 volt for the B power supply, because we have a two kind of power supply for the tube circuit. So in my house, that's and I appreciate my parents because I'm not really son of the Mr. Rockefeller, but I was the good enough to buy or enjoy this kind of stuff. But the Korean War really gave me a lot of disaster because I lost all of my toys. Anyway, I was some kind of a well-known to our town people, full of junk, military junk, but they are all precious treasure as a toy for myself. So I knew about the top-class, world-class telecommunications devices without big, trouble. And even during Korean War, I took refuge down to Busan, like I said before. Even there, still again, a lot of military surplus and the black market stuff. I just enjoyed it again and again there. So even though I was a very young age, just like high school boy, but my intellectuals of the electrical communication is concerned, I sometimes even way ahead of any other kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I got in the university,
right.
The Seoul National. So like I mentioned, my major course was power engineering, but I spent most of my time in the communication area,
mm-hmm.
making like that. So I was a charter member of the Korea Amateur Radio League,
mm-hmm.
in 1955. Up until that time, everything was undercover, means illegal operation, mm-hmm. of the ham radios,
right.
You know. But we got together with my classmate, okay, ask government, open the ham radio to individually, but as you were aware, that political situation that time, if you have a shortwave radio, you have to report police station that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
You have to register it.
Register, because if you have a shortwave, they suspect you, maybe you can receive some signal from North Korea. Mm-hmm. Something. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was fortunate, you know, through the family background or some other organizations, through the Seoul National students, I was privileged to have almost semi-ham radio operation allowed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As a person, I got the permission, I got the license from the government, but they gave us a license for the ham radios, but they did not allow us to have our stations.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really big problem.
Mm-hmm.
So we just did a lot of campaign or lobbying against the government.
Mm-hmm.
Meantime, I played with every kinds of the electronic hardware devices, like make a transmitter and model, modify the army's, you know, radio, mm-hmm. like that. With such a good background, I was selected by the professors in Texas A&M, because most of the cases, students from the Oriental area, they are very good at solving mathematical problems, but they are not good at how to play with all the, you know, experimental hardware, but
mm-hmm.
I was good both.
Mm-hmm.
So I was getting very easily the scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. Until I meet Dr. German, I didn't know he was ham radio, but later on, you know, John, why did choose you as my students through your laboratory courses?
Mm-hmm.
You did a good job, so mm-hmm. I need you. So are you going to stay with me so that I can give you my scholarship, you will be my students, then you can finish my master's and PhD.
Mm-hmm.
Because my hobby really helped me a lot in professional work.
Mm-hmm.
So amateur is a hobby, right? Hobby. But this background strengthening my professional career.
Mm-hmm.
So I made my hobby and the job constantly, well-tuned, coherently, good job.
Mm-hmm.
So even now, I sometimes play with the soldering iron, sometimes I make something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I still remember the Heathkit. You remember the Heathkit?
The Heathkit, sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm very sad these days. It's gone. That mm-hmm. But when I was going to school in Texas,
mm-hmm.
I spent a good portion of money income to buy Heathkit.
Mm-hmm.
I can build receivers, transmitters, you know,
mm-hmm.
even color televisions.
Right.
I got rid of it just a few years ago. Up until a few years ago, I used to have a Heathkit homebrew, my, you know, the hand-wired, you know, the 23 inches,
mm-hmm.
you know, the color television.
Mm-hmm.
I treasured it. Of course, the quality of picture wasn't good like these days, but mm-hmm. I built it in 1969.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get rid of it because I affected so much,
mm-hmm.
you know, that particular set, because I built it. And mm-hmm. also, the first color set in Korea,